This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Draymond with the dribble off of Curry's screen. Back out to Steph. Drifts to his left, dribbles to the paint, throws the corner. There's Kuminga, wide open. Bucket! Three ball, left corner, pocket.
Now back to Warriors Wrap Up on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. Mark Randy with you after another rough Warriors loss, this time 91-90 to the Houston Rockets in Houston. The Warriors led by 6, 90-84 with 3 minutes left. They did not score the rest of the game. Neither did Houston until the 115 mark. So that means it was a 7-0 Houston run over the final 80 seconds. A Van Vliet three, a Şengün drive and score, and two Jalen Green free throws. Meanwhile, the Warriors, I can't even tell you what the hell they were doing offensively during that stretch. They were multiple 24-second shot clock violations, and to Houston's credit, a lot of that was good defense, and this is a very good defensive team, but the Warriors should at the very least be able to get a shot up. And when they're not committing shot clock violations, there was a bad Draymond Green turnover where he just threw a pass into the crowd. At a certain point, just get the ball back to Steph Curry, and I'd prefer him to take a deep contested step back 30-footer than a Draymond Green wild drive and look to pass to somebody else. It is just mistake after mistake after mistake down the stretch on offense, and it has come back to bite the Warriors time after time after time. Welcome back. It's Warriors Wrap Up. Mark Randy with you on 95.7 The Game. What also happened tonight was the Warriors snapped a 15-game winning streak against the Houston Rockets. The Rockets have beaten the Warriors for the first time since February 20th, 2020. That was before the COVID shutdown. That's how long it has been. I think I'll get you the official starting lineup for the Warriors that game. I believe it featured Marquese Chris. It might have also featured Kai Bowman. I think I have it here for you somewhere. Here it is. The Warriors starting lineup the last time they lost to the Rockets. Jordan Poole, Andrew Wiggins, Damian Lee, Draymond Green, and Marquese Chris. And it did feature Kai Bowman off the bench. That was the Warriors starting lineup, and that was Jordan Poole before he became the Jordan Poole we know now. That was rookie Jordan Poole, who was really, really struggling. That's the lineup the last time these Rockets, not these Rockets, any Rockets team beat the Warriors. So that streak snapped. Also, with the loss, the Warriors are now out of the NBA Cup As the Houston Rockets advance, they will take on Oklahoma City in the semifinals of the NBA Cup. One half of the bracket. The other half is Milwaukee against Atlanta as the Hawks go into Madison Square Garden and upset the Knicks tonight. So on the eastern side, it's Atlanta and Milwaukee. On the western side, it's Houston and Oklahoma City. The Warriors are out. They will host Clay and the Mavericks in just a plain old regular season game on Friday at 5:30. Coverage with us will begin at 4:30, of course, here on 95.7 The Game. Okay, let's go out to the phone lines, and then we will hear from Steve Kerr. Eric in San Leandro is waiting patiently. Eric, what's up? You're on Warriors Wrap Up with Mark Randy. What are your thoughts from that rough Warriors loss, Eric?
Man, it has gotten very agitating, irritating, and just totally the Warriors play with your emotions, man. It's hard to watch them now. I don't know what the hell they were doing out there. I mean, man, they are totally, it's a totally undisciplined team now. I mean, I'm talking about the coaching strategy, the players, I'm blaming everything. I mean, Buddy Hield gets out. I think he sits Buddy Hield too long. But Jesse's in the game when he shouldn't be. He shouldn't have been taking the ball out with 3 seconds left and then took the last shot. Kuminga, I didn't know he was that bad at free throws till the night. He's horrible.
Yeah.
Steph Curry shooting these step-back threes when he could have held the ball a little longer down the stretch. I mean, they didn't play like they want to win tonight. It didn't even look like they want to win. They didn't look like they want to win, man. This is a totally undisciplinary team. You know, the first week or two of the season, I mean, it was very promising looking. After that, I don't know what happened.
Yeah, Eric, I feel you, Eric. I think there's a lot of Warrior fans that agree with you. I mean, there's just too many silly mistakes that are costing the Warriors night after night and game after game. And if you just play smart basketball, see, like Steve Kerr, it was the loss in Denver that kind of incensed him, and I'm not sure he's ever really calmed down from it, and I can't really blame him. He's just begging his team to just hit singles. Don't swing for the fences. You don't got to make the highlight crazy play all the time. Just hit singles. Just hit singles. If the Warriors just did that consistently, they would have like at least two more wins, maybe three more wins. Hell, they might have four more wins. And that's the difference between being where they are right now, which is now on the edge of like a postseason spot. They are still currently fifth at 14-10, but only a game above the Nuggets in seventh, which is the first play-in spot. And the difference between being up at the very top of the Western Conference, the Warriors very easily could have four more wins. And this is not taking away anything from the opponents who came back and won those games, but we know it. We watched these games. The Warriors lost those games themselves. And if you just took care of business in those four games, instead of being 14-10, you could be 18-6. And you would be basically deadlocked with OKC for first place. You would have played two fewer games. So OKC, you'd actually be, yeah, OKC would be percentage points ahead of you. In fact, they would be one game ahead of you. But you'd be one game behind first place in the Western Conference. Like, that's the difference in the Warriors season right now. It is just executing down the stretch of basketball games. Okay, let's get to Steve Kerr, Warriors head coach, post game in Houston after his team's 91-90 loss to the Rockets. The Warriors are out of the NBA Cup. Their 15 game winning streak against the Rockets is over, and the Warriors, they led by six with 3 minutes left. They go scoreless over the final three. The Houston Rockets go on a 7-0 run over the final 80 seconds, and the Rockets beat the Warriors 91-90. Steve Kerr upset about what happened at the very end of this basketball game after a Steph Curry missed three with about 10 seconds left. Gary Payton II had the ball for a second, tried to shovel it to the middle part of the floor to Jonathan Kuminga, but Jalen Green was there, kind of stole the ball away, and then Jonathan Kuminga, as he tried to fight for the loose ball, maybe get a jump ball, maybe get the ball himself, is called for a foul like 80 feet from the Houston basket. Jalen Green makes both free throws, and on the ensuing Warriors possession, Pajemski's potential game-winning three is blocked, and the Warriors lose. That is all the context you need for this Steve Kerr post-game presser. Buckle up. He is not happy. Here's the Warriors head coach Steve Kerr after his team's loss tonight in Houston.
I've never seen a loose ball foul on a jump ball situation 80 feet from the basket with the game on the line. I've never seen that. I think I saw it in college one time 30 years ago. Never seen it in the NBA. That is unconscionable. I don't even understand what just happened. You know, loose ball, diving on the floor, 80 feet from the basket, and you're going to give a guy two free throws to decide the game when people are scrambling for the ball. Just give them a timeout. Give them a timeout and let the players decide the game. That's how you officiate, especially because the game was a complete wrestling match. You know, they didn't call anything. Steph Curry got hit on the elbow, plain as day, on a jump shot, just clubbed right on there, no call. So you've established you're just not going to call anything throughout the game. It's a physical game. We're going to call it a loose ball foul on a jump ball situation with guys diving on the floor with the game on the line. This is a billion-dollar industry. You got people's jobs on the line. I am stunned. I am stunned. I give the Rockets credit. They battled back. They played great defense all night. But I feel for our guys. Our guys battled back, played their asses off, and deserved to win that game or at least have a chance for one stop at the end to finish the game. And that was taken from us by a call that I don't think an elementary school referee would have made, because that guy would have had feel and said, you know what, I'm not going to decide a game on a loose ball 80 feet from the basket.
I knew you had a challenge. You obviously only had one time left. Did you think about the challenge?
No. It wouldn't have been reversed. And I needed to save it, for the ensuing play.
You obviously blew a 6-point lead in the final 77. Yeah. That was obviously the punctuation.
It's our fault. Yeah.
What
we didn't score. We had a turnover on the pass from Draymond to JK. You know, we had done a great job taking care of the ball after that first, quarter and a half that was a disaster. And, Trey's got to make a good decision there. And he took a chance throwing it to JK. He's got to just get the ball back to Steph on that. And he knows he feels terrible in there. I could have done a better job getting us into something different, try to free up Steph or JK. So we all take it. We all took part in this one.
I think you guys had six shot clock violations tonight. How much of that obviously brought to the really, really good defense, but how much was it defense versus you guys finding
it? It was defense. Their defense was great. Pressured us all game. I think four of them were in the first half, and we couldn't get free. And then we got control of the game in the second half, did a really good job of taking care of it and bouncing back and doing some nice things, but we didn't close, bottom line.
What was the difference in the third quarter? Some good Buddy going there.
Just took care of the ball and got organized.
Any benefits of not playing until Sunday? I mean, 3 days off has been a pretty frenetic schedule.
I'm not ready to answer that question. I'm pissed off. I wanted to go to Las Vegas. We wanted to win this cup. And, we aren't going because of a loose ball foul 80 feet from the basket with the game on the line. I've never seen anything like it in my life. And that was ridiculous. Thank you.
Wow, and Steve Kerr just walks it off. You thought he was done talking about that play and that whistle and that foul call. No, he was still upset about it. I don't know who the gentleman was that asked him the question at the end, if there was any benefit to, not having to go to Vegas, getting to fly home and having Thursday off, Friday off, Saturday off in preparation for Sunday at home against the Mavericks and Klay Thompson. And he kind of cut off the question before the question was even over and said, I'm not ready to answer that question. I'm pissed off. We wanted to go to Vegas and win this cup, and we're not going to have the opportunity because of something I've never seen before in the NBA. He called it earlier unconscionable. He said, just give them a timeout if they have possession and you think that maybe there's a foul. Just call a timeout, let the players decide the game. He said an elementary school ref wouldn't have made that call because he would have had, quote, feel. Steve Kerr's fed up. And the 415 checking in on the Comcast business text line is hearing the same thing I am. Kerr doesn't care about the fine anymore with the criticism of the officiating. He's had it. He absolutely has. Everything is frustrating him now. We haven't heard or seen a Steve Kerr this animated, this consistently, maybe ever. Honestly, I mean, we had the game earlier at home against Memphis. If you remember, I don't know how many of you watched the second half super intently because I remember like it was yesterday. It was the night of the Jake Paul and Mike Tyson fight. And that fight kind of began right around as the second half was going for Warriors and Grizzlies. The Warriors-Grizzlies game, I had the honor of being at Chase Center for that fun second half. It was maybe the ugliest second half I've ever seen. The Warriors won that game, and it wasn't particularly close. The final score was kind of close, but the result was never in doubt for basically the entire second half. But the second half itself lasted like an hour and a half, if not a little bit more. The fourth quarter specifically was almost an hour long. And because everything was called. And that wasn't Steve Kerr being upset because officials were maybe a reason why the Warriors lost the basketball game. That was Steve Kerr being upset because it was just a terrible product. And there's no way that can be what the NBA wants. He was pissed.
Fantasy freaks and geeks. It's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
Then he ran out onto midcourt as the game ended and got into the faces of multiple officials because he was so upset with how they officiated the second half of that game. And again, that didn't even cost the Warriors a win. The Warriors won that game relatively comfortably. And then in the post-game presser, he basically declined to comment on it, specifically about referees, because he didn't want to get fined. And I think he said something along the lines of, I just feel bad for our fans who paid to watch that second half. That's how frustrated Steve Kerr was by the way that was called. Then you have what happened in Denver, which wasn't frustration at the referees, but was frustration at his own team. But this is all coming from the same point, from the same spot. Steve Kerr's frustrated. The Warriors are not winning games that they should be winning right now. And it's happening over and over and over again. And tonight was just another example. And to Steve Kerr's credit, he did mention, yeah, it was our fault, like down the stretch after he got, you know, everything about that foul call off his chest. He did say, again, this is all for our fault. We committed the turnovers. Draymond's got to be smarter. He can't force that pass in down to Kuminga. Play it safe. Get the ball back out to Steph. Reset. And worst case, Steph takes a step back 30-footer. That's honestly not a very bad shot considering what the Warriors had done up to that point, the final few minutes. Scoreless over the final 3 minutes were the Golden State Warriors. They led by six, 90-84 with 3 minutes left. The Warriors do not score the rest of the way, but their defense was playing good ball up to that point. I mean, it was still that same score, 90-84, until a Fred VanVleet three cut it to three with a minute 15 left. So it was nearly two full minutes of scoreless basketball both ways. Both ways. And then Fred VanVleet hit a three. Alperen Şengün scored on Looney. And then the foul call that led to the two Jalen Green free throws that won the game for the Houston Rockets. It's been a long time since Steve Kerr has this consistently been that angry and that frustrated and voiced it publicly in a post-game presser. It's happening often for Steve Kerr now. The 415 on the Comcast Business text line, didn't Draymond get ejected? A blowout, then got close with officiating. Yeah, that's the Memphis game I was talking about earlier. Warriors led by like 20 for the majority of that second half, and then the game really slowed down The Grizzlies got back within five, I think, in the final like 30 seconds. But the game, the result was never in doubt. It really wasn't ever nerve-wracking. It was just an ugly basketball game and a really, really hard game to watch. And Draymond did get ejected in that one. He got double technicals like very near the end of the basketball game. So it wasn't just Steve Kerr that was upset at that one. It was really, it was everybody in the building. It was an ugly, ugly half of basketball. And that's, I think, the first time we've heard Steve Kerr's frustration publicly this year. And it's happened two times since in relative, you know, rapid succession. The Denver game was just 8 days ago. 8 days ago, we were sitting here. I was talking to you right now at this very same spot on these very same airwaves about how Steve Kerr was banging on the table about Brandon Pajamski and about his team trying to hit home runs instead of swinging for singles and just making the smart, easy decision time and time and time again. And now it's the officiating that's got him all frustrated. And I mean, I can't blame him. It's a frustrating loss. The Warriors did it to themselves, though. And if we focus too much on what the officiating crew did or did not do, then we're letting the Warriors off the hook for what was another ugly basketball game. And the Warriors are just in the habit of playing very ugly basketball games, especially in fourth quarters. All right, Warriors wrap-up continues. Mark Randy with you here on 95.7 The Game. Let's go back out to the phone lines. Shaka is in Berkeley. Shaka, what's up? You're on Warriors wrap-up. How you doing?
Man, how you doing, man? Hey, it was an entertaining game, but you kind of get what you deserve sometimes. You know, you get 22 consecutive 24-second shot clock violations without getting off a shot. I think Kuminga was, when they was going through Kuminga, it was working kind of good. I mean, Steph hit some shots. They were playing good together, just broke down. And, you know, I don't want you to kill the messenger over the message, but they need to stop complaining, whining, and talking to the refs and holding the ball and constant. It's a constant about the refs every game. We're not executing. And when it comes down, you don't execute. When the guy hits the guy who's played for Toronto hits the three, if we would have made a basket, it wouldn't have mattered. But, you know, we putting the blame on shipping the blame. We got to execute better, man. They need to put 61 in to dribble the ball. It looks like they're having trouble getting the ball up court. Like, we really need, and it really shows that we need another person other than Kuminga. We can't afford to lose Kuminga. We need somebody else with Kuminga because Steph looks like he's kind of hurting, man. I don't know. I'll take your ass off the air, man. Thank you for my call.
Yeah, appreciate it, Shaka. I mean, you're right. Like, we can talk about the foul call all we want, and Steve Kerr can say that an elementary school ref wouldn't have made that call because he has feel for the game of basketball, and undoubtedly, he's going to get a fine for that, I would imagine. But the Warriors lost this game themselves, and Shaka is spot on. The Şengün bucket that cut the lead to one came off of a second chance. It was a missed three by the Houston Rockets. Pajemski fought for the rebound, couldn't get two hands on it, tried to tip it to some space, ultimately tipped it out of bounds. It leads to a second chance bucket for the Houston Rockets. They get back within one, and then, of course, the madness happens where, for some reason, I mean, I can't explain it. Again, we got to focus on this Steph Curry three-point attempt. I'm going to look at the video right now. I'm going to bring it up so I can give you all the exact details. After the Şengün bucket, after the missed three-point shot by Jabari Smith and the Warriors' inability to grab a defensive rebound led to the Şengün bucket, the Warriors have the ball. Up by one, they get it with like 30 seconds left. Not even, 28 seconds left. 28 seconds left. So there's about a four-second difference shot clock and game clock. They get it across half court. Steph Curry's picked up at half court by Dylan Brooks, and with 15 seconds left in the game, 11 seconds on the shot clock, he begins to try to get a shot up. And he drives to the top of the key, takes a step back three, 25 feet out, like a foot behind the three-point line. And it's a decent look. Like, it's not a terrible shot. In a tie game, down by one, down by two, great shot. Like, yeah, get it up. Like, you want to do it quick. Maybe not in a tie game, but you want to take the last shot. But down by one, down by two, it's a great look. Great shot. You'll take it. You're up by one. There's still 10 seconds on the shot clock and 14 seconds in the game. Why are you shooting? Why are you shooting? And if it goes in, great. But frankly, if it goes in, it does not excuse the decision to shoot it in the first place. And then it misses. Şengün can't grab it. GP2 dives on the deck for it, gets it with Fred VanVleet kind of lying on his back. GP2 has it as he's laying stomach on the court with the ball on his chest with 8 seconds left in the game. And I'm not sure if the Warriors were trying to call a timeout. I can try to look and see what Steve Kerr is doing here. Steve Kerr did signal for a timeout. I'm looking at it. Steve Kerr did signal for a timeout. But in moments like that, the officiating crew is all just staring at what's happening on the court and where the ball is and all that. So I don't blame the officiating crew for not seeing that. And by the time, who knows, the split second where he actually did call for the timeout, maybe GP2 had already thrown the ball back to the middle part of the court. Let's see if I can find it here for you. When it's signaled, that was also Terry Stotts trying to signal the timeout. It's very close. It's a bang-bang play. I don't blame the officials for missing that. But it's the decision to get the shot up at that moment in the first place. You could just kill the rest of the shot clock, put up a three as the buzzer expires. If it goes in, if it goes out, all that matters is that you hit the rim and you kill a couple more seconds. And then you win the basketball game, most likely. It would have taken a crazy Houston defensive rebound, timeout, and out-of-bounds play to win in very limited time. Instead, you gave Houston all the time they needed, and then Houston gets bailed out by a rough foul call. No doubt, rough foul call. They got bailed out, but you bailed them out by even giving them the opportunity to be in that situation. And that's just a decision that you would not expect of a 36-year-old Hall of Famer who's one of the top 10 players to ever play this game of basketball. Sometimes it's as simple as, are you playing smart? And the Warriors are not playing smart in fourth quarters for the most part of late. Okay. Mark Randy with you here on Warriors wrap up as we continue on here. The Warriors lose to the Houston Rockets. Final score 91-90. Warriors committed 22 turnovers, tied for a season high. And the Houston Rockets, they turned those 22 turnovers into 30 points. 30 points for the Houston Rockets off turnovers. The Warriors, 18 points off of 17 Houston turnovers. Honestly, the fact that the Warriors, like, it's funny the way we talk about this game, because for a large portion of this basketball game, it felt like this was just going to be a stinker of a Warriors game. They were going to lose, don't have enough offense. Houston wants this game more, right? They're trying to snap the 15-game losing streak to the Warriors. There's no shortage of drama between these two teams, to the point where, you know, the Warriors win in Houston earlier in the year without Steph, and you get members of the Rockets team saying, you know, we hate the Warriors. Then you have the Warriors playing the Rockets in Houston without Steph and without Draymond last week, and the Warriors find a way to win that basketball game. And it's like, okay, if Houston can't win that game, when are they ever going to beat the Golden State Warriors? And then this one, and it just felt like, all right, it's a cup game. The Rockets certainly have the advantage being at home. Maybe they care a little bit more about beating the Warriors because they want to finally snap that streak, and you felt like, all right, maybe this is just a game that Houston wants more, and they're going to win it. It felt that way through the first half. I mean, the Warriors in the first half, it was ugly offensively. The Warriors, let's see, I'll give you the exact numbers for the Warriors at halftime. The Warriors were shooting 38% from the field. That's 16 for 42 from the field and 18% from downtown, 4 for 22. What's crazy, though, is you only trailed by 7 despite those terrible shooting numbers because Houston was not very good themselves. The Warriors committed 14 first-half turnovers. The Rockets committed 10. The Rockets shot sub 44% from the field, but they only made 1 3-pointer. One made three-pointer for the Houston Rockets in the first half, and they had a 7-point lead over the Warriors. Like, the first half was just so ugly, it felt like it was going to, maybe early in the third quarter, Houston was going to make a couple of threes, and the Warriors would get down by 15, and then the game would kind of be over. But the Warriors fought back. They got within four early in the third quarter. They ultimately took a lead with about four to go in the third quarter when Trace Jackson Davis, who, by the way, played again tonight after not playing last game, the win against the Minnesota Timberwolves, he gave the Warriors a lead late in the third quarter. They ultimately led by a one-point margin in the third, at the end of the third, going into the fourth. And then they built a six-point lead late in the game in the fourth quarter against the Houston Rockets, and Houston goes on a 7-0 run to close the game in the final 80 seconds. Made three, a second-chance bucket for Alperen Şengün, and then the fouls by Jalen Green, where, we can say that the Rockets were bailed out by that foul call, but the Warriors allowed the game to get into that situation in the first place. I think the Warriors showed a decent amount of grit after how ugly that first half was to fight back and to be in a position to win the game in the second half. I thought there was a very clear offensive scheme and mindset shift in the second half. I don't know why it didn't happen earlier in the first quarter, but in the first half, first of all, the Warriors started another small group. Steph Curry, Buddy Hield, Gary Payton II, Jonathan Kuminga and Draymond Green. That's because Wiggins unavailable, and the Warriors felt they wanted to go small with Green at the five, not Looney and not Trace Jackson Davis. What happened was Şengün on one end oftentimes would be matched up with Gary Payton II, and that was just easy money for Şengün often, so he essentially played GP2 off the court. What I don't understand was in the first half why the Warriors just did not attack Alperen Şengün on the Warriors' offensive end. For how good Şengün is offensively, and he's not a terrible defender, but that's not his strength at all. I don't know why the Warriors, with an advantage on Şengün, basically no matter who he's guarding, just involve him in the action every single time down the court, whether it's the pick and roll or it's split action or whatever it is. Involve Şengün. And they just kind of refused to do that in the first half. I don't know why. That would be a great question for Steve Kerr. But they came out in the second half and they did that over and over and over again, whether it was a pick and roll, GP2 coming up to set the screen because they had Şengün guarding GP2. And oftentimes he would just dare GP2 to shoot the three. And GP2 tonight from deep was 0 for 2, and it worked out for Houston. They would dare GP2 to shoot the 3, and it didn't work out for the Warriors. So the Warriors' adjustment was just to include Şengün in the action every trip down the floor. And it got to the point where the Warriors ran Şengün off the court. It happened. The Warriors, in the second half, in the third quarter, they were able to build that narrow lead. They took the lead for the first time in a very long time, with about 4 minutes to go in that third quarter. And a big part of that run to get to that point was just Şengün being in the action on every pick and roll, on every split action. And it led to buckets in the paint for the Warriors over and over and over again. I'm curious what the paint point number is for the Warriors in the third quarter. They scored 32 points, the Warriors did. In the third, 12 of them came in the paint. The Warriors in the game scored 40 points in the paint, so a little more, they were on pace for a little bit more in that third quarter alone. But that's also when Buddy Hield got going from the outside. He made three threes in this game, and all three of them came in the third quarter. But that's also what happens. Once you get stuff working in the paint, you can then space it out and kick the ball out to your shooters, and that's when those threes started falling for the Warriors. But it didn't happen at all in the first half. And then I don't know what the decision was to wait as long as the Warriors did to do that. But they played Şengün off the court in the third quarter because he just could not stick with the Warriors defensively when they go to that small lineup. Curry, Hield, Payton, Kuminga, Green. It's a mismatch at every single spot. And the Warriors did not take advantage of it in the first half, and they did in the second half. And then Ime Udoka, great defensive coach for Houston, adjusted and said, all right, we're going to play off, and we're not going to let you back cut on us, the split and cut action. And the split action essentially is, and it's been the Warriors' bread and butter in the Steve Kerr era. Like, literally has been a play that they run over and over and over again for a decade. All it is you entry pass into the post, either from the right wing or left wing. You get it down near the right block or left block, and it can be not right on the block, anywhere in that vicinity, in one of the corners, basically. And then the person who made the entry pass into the post, usually from the same wing, right? So if, like, the entry pass goes into Looney on the right block, it came from, say, Draymond on the right wing. Or if Looney's on the left block, it comes from Draymond on the left block. And those are just two examples. The players that are posting up and the players that are making the entry pass ultimately don't really matter. It's kind of interchangeable. But it happens on the same side of the court. And then once the ball gets entered into the post, let's just say it's Looney on the right block. He has possession of the basketball. Whoever made the entry pass, say Draymond, then turns and runs to set a screen for the next nearest player. So Draymond on the right wing makes the entry pass to Looney on the right post, and then he essentially turns to his left and sees Steph Curry top of the key and goes over and sets a screen for Steph Curry. And what happens there is Steph Curry runs off the screen towards the ball, usually, and there's a number of variations off of this, but you run off the screen right towards the ball, Looney on the right post, and if your defender trails you, they go under the screen, whatever the reason is, you pass the ball to Steph and he has an open three. Like, that has been the Warriors' offense going back to 2014, 2015 when they won the championship for the first time. And variations of it, and this is where the Warriors made so much hay in the third quarter specifically and early in the fourth quarter as well. The Rockets in the first half were just refusing to let Steph Curry or Buddy Hield or whoever it was get the open looks off the split action from deep. So what the Warriors did in the second half was, instead of using the split action to get Steph a shot on the right wing, they would use a split action to get the screener a bucket in the paint. So what happened was, the Warriors' adjustment was, Şengün is playing very aggressive. Let's include him on the screen. He's going to be defending the guy at the top of the key, right? Say it's Draymond, or say it's Kuminga, or even say it's GP2. He's defending the guy at the top of the key. The guy that makes the entry pass into the post is going to go set the screen on Şengün. Şengün is going to aggressively make sure that the guy coming off that screen is not going to be able to get an open look. And then what happens is the screener rolls to the hoop, and Şengün is nowhere to be found, and you get an easy bucket either from the guy that's rolling himself, cutting to the hoop, or then you have a three-on-two situation because the other two defenders are hanging out near the perimeter because they're so scared of Steph shooting a three or Buddy Hield shooting a three that you have any advantage down low when you get buckets. And it happened numerous times early in the third. Then the Houston Rockets adjusted back. They took that away, and that's when Steph and Buddy Hield got going from downtown. Like, that's the simple split action that the Warriors run over and over and over again. And I don't know why it took them so long to adjust to that in the first half, because it worked wonders in the third quarter when the Warriors scored 32 points and outscored the Rockets by 8. You scored 18 points in the first, 19 points in the second, 32 in the third, and then 21 in the fourth. The Warriors consistently are their best offensively in the third quarter, and it was no exception tonight. They were very, very good in the third quarter in this one. So I don't know why it took so long for the Warriors to make that adjustment, but it did. They put Şengün into the action, and it worked over and over and over again. And oddly enough, the Warriors have now played the Rockets 3 times this year. When Şengün is on the court, the Rockets are a minus 21 this year in the 3 games against the Warriors. The Warriors have taken advantage of that matchup this year. Unfortunately for them tonight, it did not result in a win as they lose by 191-90. But that was the adjustment for the Warriors in the second half, specifically in the third quarter, and that was by far their best offensive quarter in this basketball game. If we can take a look at the numbers as a whole, the Warriors shoot 44% from the field, 31% from downtown. In the third quarter, the Warriors shot 54% from the field and 50% from downtown. And it was all because of that minor adjustment that they made in that third quarter. But then you still get to the situation for the Warriors where in crunch time, you cannot score. The Warriors, in the final 3 minutes of this basketball game, they go scoreless. It was a Kuminga bucket to put the Warriors up by 7 with 3.5 left. Then Şengün a couple of free throws. Then Kuminga split a pair of free throws. Warriors lead by 6, 3:03 to go. From that moment on, Draymond Green missed a hook shot. The Warriors committed a shot clock violation. The Warriors then turned it over on the Draymond Green bad pass. The Warriors committed another shot clock violation. And then he had the terrible Steph Curry three in the final 10 seconds where he could have killed more time. And then the foul that led to the Jabari Green or the Jalen Green free throws that lost the Warriors the basketball game. I don't know where the offensive execution goes in crunch time. And this is not to take anything away from Houston because they are one of the best defensive teams in the NBA. And they are one of the surprises in the NBA so far. They are now 17-8, second place in the Western Conference. The West right now goes OKC, Houston, and Memphis. I'm not sure how many people thought at this point of the season the first three teams, the three best teams in the West would be OKC, Houston, and Memphis. We probably expected Houston or OKC, but not Houston and not Memphis. Houston is a very good basketball team, and they proved it to the Warriors, especially on the defensive end with how they played in this one. The Warriors only scored 90 points. They shoot 44% from the field. The Warriors commit 22 turnovers, and they allow Houston to score 30 points off those 22 turnovers. Just a bad, bad night at the office offensively for the Golden State Warriors. Okay, let's continue on the phones here on Warriors Wrap-Up. Mark Randy with you, 888-957-9570. That's also the Comcast Business text line. Char is in Fremont. Char, what's up? You're on Warriors Wrap-Up on 95.7 The Game. How you doing?
I'm doing great. So my thoughts on the game was that this was a really, like, back-and-forth game. It was very entertaining because both teams are, like, scoring. The Rockets are scoring and the Warriors are scoring as well. So it was a good game, but, you know, it was pretty heartbreaking because, you know, we choked the lead, and then we ended up losing by a point. So it's not the way you like to end. I mean, as a Warriors fan, I would really love to see us win and go to Vegas to play for the NBA Cup. But unfortunately, that didn't happen tonight, which was a little unfortunate. But I'm really hopeful about this team because I'm really positive that this team will go do big things in the future, even though they just lost this NBA Cup game to Houston. But I think we're gonna do big things. I'm very optimistic and I look forward in the future because we still got Steph Curry, we still got Draymond Green, we still got Peter Pajemski. So we still got this. I mean, I don't think I'm too worried about this NBA Cup. This wasn't really anything big to start with. It was just like a publicity thing for the fans to get excited about this whole NBA Cup tournament. But it was a good game. I mean, it was a really fun game to watch. I think this was probably one of the most entertaining games I've watched as a Warriors, and I think this was one of those games. But I think Warriors got it. I mean, they have a lot of games left in the season, so I don't think this is really going to hinder them in any way.
Yeah, Char, appreciate the call, and I respect your positive attitude at this point as well. I'm with you. I'm not a big proponent of the NBA Cup. Like, winning it would that be cool? Sure. I think the players probably care a little bit more about it because at least some of the younger ones, because you get an extra $500,000, and that's pretty nice. That's a big chunk of change. I'm not so sure exactly what's in it for the fans. That was a fun basketball game, but it would have been a fun basketball game if the court wasn't red either, right? Like, the NBA Cup, I'm not sure that really had much to do with how that game felt. And, you know, you are right, Char, that was a fun basketball game, but I'm not sure how much I really care about the NBA Cup. I'm just more frustrated by the fact that the Warriors blew another lead in the fourth quarter. And Steph Curry addressed it post-game. We already heard from Steve Kerr. I don't have this down to play for you, but I can read a snippet. Steph Curry was asked about his decision to take that shot with still like 11 seconds left. I guess it was closer to like 9.5 on the game clock and 9 seconds on the shot clock. He took a step back three over Dylan Brooks. It was a relatively good look, like, not denying it. It's a shot that Steph has made literally thousands of times in his NBA career. He was asked, did he go too early or did he like the look? Steph Curry, quote, both, probably a couple of seconds too early, but if I make the shot, we're on a plane to Vegas. Yeah, you're right, Steph. If you make the shot, you're headed to Vegas. If you also just don't shoot the ball until you have to, or you wait for Houston to foul you, you're also probably on a flight to Vegas. And the second one seems a little more bankable than a tough step back three, even if you are, as you are, Steph, the greatest shooter that the game of basketball has ever seen. So that's how I feel about that. It was a rough decision, in my opinion. Also, more from Steph Curry post-game, and this all comes courtesy of Anthony Slater on Twitter. I recommend giving it a listen, and you can listen to the full Steph Curry that way. Steph Curry, quote, on the fourth quarter issues, the pattern of scoreless droughts down the stretch has to be addressed, or else we'll be a mediocre team. All take responsibility for not being able to get us organized and not being able to finish plays. Ball's in my hands. I got to make shots. And Steph Curry tonight was a volume scorer. 19 points on 17 shot attempts. 8 for 17 from the field. 3 of 9 from downtown. That'll happen. Like, this isn't a frustrated... I'm not a frustrated Warriors fan because the Warriors missed some shots. That happens. It happens in basketball. It's a question of whether the decisions you're making when taking those shots or the decisions you make to lead to those shots are solid. And far too often, the last like 3 weeks for the Warriors, those decisions have been lacking over and over and over again. And it's cost the Warriors multiple games this year. Again, November 23rd in San Antonio, led by 17 late in the third quarter, lose that game in San Antonio. The next game, 2 days later, at home against the Brooklyn Nets, a game you should absolutely win. You lead by 18, like midway through the third. You lose that game. The following week, the 3rd of December, 8 days ago, in Denver, you led by 6 with 2.5 left. And then Denver outscored you 10-0 in the final 2.5. You lose that game. And then tonight, you led by 6 with a minute 20 left, and Houston goes on a 7-0 run to win that game tonight, 91-90, and that is the final score. Before I do get on out of here, I will try to give you the glass half full look at things, and I do think there is a legitimate argument to be made that losing tonight might ultimately be an okay thing for the Golden State Warriors. I'll tell you why in a second as we try to end the night on a little bit of a more positive note. That's coming up in a second, but before we get to that, let's go back out to the phone lines and still got about 10 minutes here if you want to sneak another call in, 888-957-9570. Up next is Mark in Berkeley. What's up, Mark? You're on Warriors Wrap-Up. How you doing?
I've said this before. We need to go back to earlier in the season. We did lose Melton, but we had a bigger rotation, and trust everyone on this team. And just don't be scared. Put them all in, and they'll win. They'll tire other teams out, improve your free throw shooting, and it won't matter. They just have to go back. If you look at those box scores earlier, everyone was getting 10 points on the team, and the big guys were getting 20. That's what they need to do again. They're going to a smaller rotation now, and I'm totally against it. You have to trust everybody to play as a team, and they'll win. They'll tire the other teams out. At the end, they're getting tired, and it's just happening over and over. That's why they're making mistakes. I used to see Dallas also do this with this swagger and make turnovers. Backhouse and Dampier used to do that, and Terry. It's silly, those turnovers. It's just ridiculous. But you can still win if you use a bigger rotation. I'm telling you, the teams don't have benches like we have. We've got a great team. He has to have faith in the team. They got to improve their free throw shooting, though. That's just ridiculous. And they've got to play better defense. The turnovers, no one can say anything about that. But if he just played like they did earlier in the season and used 12 players, And all of them, if they're winning, they'll win. That's my opinion.
Appreciate the call, Mark. And, I mean, you are absolutely 100% correct about the free throws. About the rotation, I flatly disagree. Appreciate the call, and as always, and love hearing from you, Mark. The Warriors played 11 players tonight, and that's without Andrew Wiggins and Moses Moody available. Like, this was not a small rotation tonight. In fact, I think most people would say, why are you playing Pat Spencer 3.5 minutes? Most people probably would say you should play a little less Brandon Pajemski. Why is Lindy Waters playing 23 minutes? Although I would fire back if people said that, because Lindy Waters, 8 points, all of them big-time buckets in the second half. Lindy Waters and Brandon Pajemski hit big shots in the second half of this basketball game. Warriors probably lose this game, not by 1 point, but maybe by like 7 points without Lindy Waters. All I'm saying, Mark, and appreciate the call once again, is the Warriors played 11 guys tonight, and that's without two main rotation guys. At least one. Moody's kind of in and out, but Wiggins is a starter. Like, if Wiggins was available tonight, they played 12 dudes, probably. That's still a very deep rotation. This was not a small rotation tonight. And I think most people would disagree and say they should play fewer players, not more players. You got to play the guys that deserve it and are earning it. And frankly, for the Warriors right now, there's not a ton of guys that are earning it. One guy who earned it defensively tonight, my God, Draymond Green defensively is still the best defender in the NBA. And I think he's still like climbing up the ranks of like greatest defenders of all time. He was awesome in this basketball game defensively. Offensively, a different story. He committed how many turnovers tonight? 5. 3 of them came like in the first 2 minutes of this basketball game. He got it under control the rest of the way, although he had that one terrible one late in the fourth quarter that led to the turnover, of course, where he tried to force it to Kuminga that led to another empty possession for the Warriors. They had a stretch of possessions, 3 in a row, where they did not get a shot off. In clutch time, did not even get a shot off. Again, it's one thing if you're getting open looks and you're missing. It happens. It's basketball. Nobody's perfect. Even the professionals. Even Steph Curry, the greatest shooter to ever live. No one is perfect. No one's going to make every open shot. It happens. If you go cold and you miss and you lose as a result, okay, you know what? I'll bet that they don't go cold again next game and they'll probably win. And they'll make those shots and they'll probably win down the stretch. But it's times like that where you just commit the terrible turnovers over and over and over, and you're getting bad shots, or you're not getting shots at all, or you're taking shots too early, right? Like, it's the process over the results. And even if bad process leads to good results, which sometimes it does, and that would have been my case for Steph Curry if he made that 3 when there were still 10 seconds left on the shot clock, when you lead by 1 in the final 15 of the game, that would have been a good result, but a bad process. Instead, it's bad process and bad result. What would have been better was a good result, and then you live with a good process, which was wait to shoot or wait until you get fouled, and then live with the result of that good process. And far too often for the Warriors, it has just been bad process after bad process after bad process, and it has led to bad results for the Warriors. I got sidetracked, though, because Draymond Green defensively is still like the best defender in the NBA. And I put out on Twitter earlier tonight, and I believe this wholeheartedly, he has been the best defender in the NBA for the last decade. And he does not get enough credit for it. I mean, how many DPOYs has Rudy Gobert won? Marcus Smart snatched one away from Draymond Green. There was, of course, the down years where Draymond didn't play a ton, and you had the bad year where Steph was hurt and Klay Thompson's injury, and when the Warriors were bad and they weren't going to be considered for any postseason or end of season awards. And that's, you know, it is what it is. Doesn't mean Draymond Green not a good defender that year, but you're not going to get considered unless you're on at least a decent basketball team. Draymond Green has been the best defender in the league for a decade, and he showed why tonight. It ultimately does not result in a win. There was a play with 2 minutes left. Warriors still leading by 6 at that point. This is where you're thinking the Warriors are going to win this basketball game. He's in the paint, defending a drive. And a drive and kick goes to Jalen Green in the right corner. Draymond, after defending the drive, races out to the corner and blocks the shot. Who does that? Who defends the drive and gets out to block the shot? Nobody. Except Draymond Green. He does the same thing when he's defending Upper and Sengun. and he defends a drive, and then the dish to Şengün underneath. Draymond is able to defend the drive, stop the drive, force the pass, recover to Şengün, and force a missed shot. Şengün scores on like 95% of the defenders in that situation, not Draymond Green. Draymond is still an elite defender, and it's a shame because they wasted, the Warriors did, and Draymond Green shares some of the blame in this. They wasted like one of the best defensive fourth quarters I've seen from Draymond Green in a very long time. I thought he was amazing in that fourth quarter, but still ultimately the Warriors lose the basketball game. Okay, final order of business before we get on out of here tonight. And thanks so much for joining me all night long here on Warriors Wrap-Up. I know it's been a frustrating night, but we get through it together, and that's certainly the case here on Warriors Wrap-Up. We got to get to our final order of business. We got to check out who has been leading the way for the Warriors on the boards, and that is a big part of this for the Golden State Warriors. Really quickly, let me bring up the box score as I get it up here for the Golden State Warriors tonight as we run through Crashing the Boards, which is brought to you by Chilton Auto Body, the Bay Area leader in collision repair. Crashing the Boards tonight, that honor for the Golden State Warriors. I could go to a few different guys, actually, because three different Warriors had seven boards. You know what? I'm going to give it to Jonathan Kuminga. Seven boards for Kuminga tonight, five offensive rebounds. I haven't really talked a lot about Kuminga tonight because there's been so much else to dig into. Kuminga was a volume scorer tonight, 20 points on 20 field goals. I thought he was the reason the Warriors' offense got jump-started in the third quarter. He just relentlessly attacked Şengün downhill, got to the rim, and had a number of nice buckets to take the top off the Warriors' bucket in that third quarter. Then the Buddy Hield three started flowing, and that kind of got the Warriors going. It was all started by Kuminga. But I thought his effort on the offensive glass really stood out. As a result, he gets our Crashing the Boards honor, which is, as always, brought to you by Chilton Auto Body, the Bay Area leader in collision repair. Thank you to Chilton. Jonathan Kuminga, seven rebounds to lead the way along with GP2 and Kevon Looney, but five of those rebounds for Kuminga were on the offensive end, and at least two of them led to putbacks and points. I think a third one led to free throws. Kuminga, I think, split the free throws, and that is still a major, major area of concern for the Warriors. Kuminga got to the line six times tonight. The Warriors as a team got to the line nine times. Kuminga, though, 2 for 6. From the free throw line. That is just unacceptable. Unacceptable. That is, you can't have that. He got to the line six times. You'll take that every single night, but you got to make at least four of them. Kuminga made two. 2 for 6 from the line. You love, you're okay with 4 for 6. You would love 5 for 6, and of course 6 for 6 would be perfect, but 2 for 6 is absolutely unacceptable. Kuminga has to get better from the line because that is a way that he can help this team so much. Get to the hoop, get fouled, and make your free throws. The Warriors would have like at least two or three more wins if they were a middle-of-the-pack free throw team versus one of the worst free throw teams in the NBA. Okay, that's all we got time for tonight. The Warriors lose. They're out of the NBA Cup. But really quickly, the bright side is they get to fly home tonight. They get 3 days off, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Then they take on Clay and the Mavericks on Sunday. That's a 5:30 tip. Pre-game coverage begins at 4:30, and then they have Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday off. The Warriors have one game over the next 8 days. And if you start it from tomorrow, one day, yeah, over the next 8 days, you play Sunday, and then you play again on Thursday. So the Warriors have plenty of time to rest, recuperate, get some practice in, figure out this end-of-game stuff. It's the best way to put it. And get better for it. The Warriors desperately need that. They're out of the NBA Cup, but there is an opportunity to get rest, get healed up. Wiggins and Moody, they need you back, specifically Andrew Wiggins. Get ready for Clay and the Mavericks coming up on Sunday, and then gear up for Memphis in Memphis on Thursday. Plenty of time at home to figure this thing out and get this thing back on track, because the Warriors are now 14-10, and they are hanging out kind of on the edge of the postseason picture in the Western Conference as they try to avoid the play-in tournament for a second consecutive year. Okay, that'll do it for us tonight. Shout out to Cam Williams behind the glass, also Steven Rizzotto and Chris O'Connell helping us out with all the Steve Kerr sound earlier tonight as well. We'll be back for more Warriors talk coming up again on Sunday when the Warriors play Dallas at home. We got a lot to dive into tomorrow here on 95.7 The Game as well, because this was such a disaster fourth quarter for the Golden State Warriors. And we got Niners at home against the Rams, Thursday Night Football, live from Santa Clara. That's coming up tomorrow as well. And we got you covered leading up to the game. Willard and Dibs live from the Hilton Santa Clara. Stop by and say what's up if you're down there. And then we got you covered for postgame on Overtime here on 95.7 The Game as well. Okay, that'll do it for us tonight. Thanks so much for tuning in. My name is Mark Randy signing off. We'll talk next time right here on 95.7 The Game.